Believe that life is worth living, and your belief will help create the fact. William James. Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Podnuts Pro is the podcast for IT business support. If you're a man in the van, a lady warrior, or a million-dollar MSP, we strive to bring you product stories and tips to help you support your business customers. Today, I am joined once again, I don't know for how long, by my good friend, Matt Rainey. Matt, how are you doing tonight?
Tired, but good.
Tired. How are you? Long day. Had to work, huh?
Had to work all day.
You know, Wednesdays are the longest day, right? It's hump day. They don't call it hump day for nothing.
I guess, but I had a lot of humps call in today, that's for sure.
I had a couple of those, but I had a couple cancels, so worked out pretty good here. So before we get started, I do want to let the listeners know, and for those of you watching, the Podnuts Pro website is up and running almost 100%. If you go to podnutspro.com, you can see all of the past episodes. If we have a video to go along with the show, the video will be also on that page on the episode site. One thing to let you know is that when you go to the homepage, there's going to be a couple of things of interest to you. Right now, there is a video where I was interviewed by Harry Brelsford from the SMB community. For some reason, he wanted to interview me for his podcast series, The Future of MSPs 30 Under 30. For some reason, he must have thought I was under the age of 30 at the time, but that video is there on the homepage for you to view and watch. Also on the homepage, I added a little helper thing. So I know that I always tell people to support the show by using the Amazon link, but what I'm going to start doing is when we talk about tools that we use or tools that I use on the homepage, if you are using the Google Chrome, Microsoft Edge, Safari, you will see the Amazon bar with the tools that I recommend. I'm going to change those out so they're not going to be static. And I put up the tool that I spoke about last week, the EasyDupe Soho Touch NVMe Duplicator. So that is on there. So when you click that link, it'll take you right to Amazon. And if you make the purchase, a little bit will come to Podnuts Pro for support. And that will be very, very helpful. The rest of the site, you can obviously see the episodes. If you click on the Amazon affiliate link in the navigator bar, that will take you to the Amazon star for Uncle Marv and Podnuts Pro. Then you can go ahead and make your Amazon purchases as normal. And of course, you can click the donate button and you can do one of two things where you can make a donation through PayPal or you can buy me a cup of coffee. So all of that is on there. And looky here, Carrie Holzman joining us in the gallery. Carrie, thank you for joining. And let's see. Oh, I do want to say this. I don't have the audio, but Matt, after the Browns' amazing victory the other night, you used one of the website features to leave me a message.
A few messages, yes. I limited my messages.
You did.
To only two.
Yes, there were two messages on the website, folks. If you want to leave me a brief message, you're in the car, you're driving, you're at a place where you don't have time to write something down, at the bottom right of the page, there is a little microphone button. You can simply click that, leave a quick audio message. It will be forwarded to me, and I may or may not acknowledge it, as we did with Matt. The wife enjoyed it, though, Matt. She thanks you for thinking about her brownies over the weekend.
That's good. Yes, I wasn't. I said, I wonder if he got it. I got no feedback on my message.
Well, I wanted her to send you something, but
I thought about just leaving the microphone running while the game was on to see how long it would run for.
I don't know. I don't think I've checked that. It's only a couple minutes. It's not that long. You'd have had to leave me like 50 messages or something.
That's cool. I'll remember that this weekend.
All right. So speaking of the weekend, the Saints had a, I mean, they won.
Yeah, they won. Technically, they won. That was bad. Somebody, that was the worst game. It was the worst game of the weekend.
Somebody had to, right?
It was the worst game of the weekend. I mean, we won, but it was terrible.
No, no. The who'd you guys play?
Chicago.
Okay, that's right. No, the Seattle game was the worst of the weekend, wasn't it?
Not for me.
No. I guess if you're not emotionally involved, I can understand that.
But see, I was going for the Rams. So to me, I was fine with it because Seattle lost.
Okay.
I didn't want Seattle to win. They were the three seed, and I wanted them out.
I don't think you have to worry about the Rams.
No, I don't think so either, but that's why I wanted them to pull it off and
I got you.
Beat the Seahawks.
I got you. All right. So I don't know how long you're going to be able to stay, so I want to go ahead and get into a couple of things. So I listed out some topics that I wanted to bring up. Two of them, of course, are customer related, and I will ask, do you have anything that you want to throw out there, any customer stories, any tips, anything that's happened in the last couple of days that you want to let all the listeners know about on how to support businesses, how to deal with customers?
Oh, God, things happen today. So many calls. But if I start on those, I'll talk way longer than I have time for.
Okay. Nothing short, huh?
Nothing short. I mean, these were – my shortest call of the day was an hour and a half. And I was doing multiple calls at once. Like, that's how long I was on the phone. But then I said, look, I'm going to hang up and work on your computer. Then I call somebody else. I have to be on the phone with them for a while, hang up, work on their computer. And I have three monitors, and I had four or five going at once, and I was on the phone. It was a long day.
Yep, I had a day like that as well. And, you know, Kim, you know, her desk is, you know, at the front of the office here, and she had to constantly walk in because she knew that, you know, I was on the phone, and she would, like, try to get my attention and say, can you talk to this person instead? And I was like, no, I'm going to have to call them back. And
yes, hate that. They always, so-and-so's on the line. Like, I'm doing all this stuff, and I get a call from somebody. I didn't get a call. Somebody calls in. They haven't called in 6 months, 7 months, and they want something right away. I'm like, look, they're going to have to wait. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So I told my receptionist, they're going to have to wait. They called back in an hour. No one got back to us. Yeah, I know.
Paying customers first, right?
They replied to the ticket. It's been an hour. We haven't been contacted yet. And I replied back an email saying, yes, your ticket is in the queue, and you will be called when your ticket comes up. People.
So here's a message that I got right before coming on the air here, and I was trying to figure out, do I really want to address this or not? And let me get to that email, and you can tell me. So this customer, we co-manage with this customer. They used to have an on-site tech. They haven't for a while. That tech left, and they haven't replaced him yet. So the office manager is doing all the IT that he can. They did not want to pay for after-hour support, which is what I told him. I would, you know, have people available. They wanted somebody available from, you know, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and I said, well, that can't be me, so I will
just
either...
Just to stand by for 12 hours waiting for a call?
Yeah, they want to make sure that somebody can get back to them within a few minutes. I'm like, that's not going to happen unless you pay more money.
Yeah, I'll charge an hourly rate starting at 7 a.m.
Yeah, so while that... So they, of course, declined not to pay more, blah, blah, blah. So this person has been complaining that it's taking forever to do certain tasks. And part of the task is this. They have a site that is on the east coast of Florida in West Palm Beach. And then they have an office that is in Tampa, Florida. So they have Active Directory servers, domain controllers in each office, one in the West Coast, one on the East Coast. So I didn't set him up to where he could log in anywhere. He logs in and does some admin stuff from his computer. So he logs into the East Coast server and he gets frustrated because Active Directory is not replicating fast enough. So if he makes a password change or changes a user's hours, you know, so if somebody contacts him at 6 o'clock because they got logged out and he goes in and changes their login hours, they may have to wait up to 15 minutes to get back in because Active Directory didn't replicate that fast.
Is somebody actually using logon hours?
Oh, yes. Yes, he is. And
I've never seen or heard of anyone actually using that feature.
So he sent an email that he's getting frustrated with this. And he's like, I can't always get to stuff during business hours, and it's extremely frustrating to not be able to get into a computer. How can I get a resolve on this?
And he wants, in essence, he's asking you to be available whenever he wants.
Well, let me do this. Before I answer you, I'm going to bring in Matt has joined us in the chat. The other Matt. Matt Foreman, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Oh, we got an echo going on there.
Yep.
Let me see if I can.
I can go get a headset if I need one.
Yeah, let's do that because I have echo cancellation, but apparently it's not working.
All right. I'll be back.
That's because there was more than one Matt. On.
Yeah, two Matts can't be talking at the same time. here we go. Carrie Colesman has a thought. Money must be tight for that company in West Palm. Lord knows where the poor people live.
Okay, where are you seeing that comment at?
It's here. I'll put it up here. It's in the.
So only you can see it. Oh wait,
no,
oh,
you have a, you have I the comments there. Yeah, you can see it.
I see it.
Oh yeah, Lord knows that's where the poor people live. Yeah. That is funny. So, I mean, his big thing is Active Directory replication. And he wanted to know if I could, you know, if I could tell him how to push changes immediately. And I told him no. Which the short answer is yes, obviously we can push changes faster. But I'm not going to tell him how to do it and have him going in and start messing stuff up.
Right.
So.
And then he'll say, well, this is what Marvin told me to do. And now it's not working at all.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how to respond to him. I think I'll just wait until the morning because by now the changes have replicated and he's good to go.
So the changes, what is his normal change? Is it password resets? Is it often that he has to go in and make changes to logon hours?
Oh yeah. This is a person who, so first of all, he sets up and terminates all users. He wants to do that. So if he gets a new user, for instance, this past Sunday, I get an alert because I have group policy alerts that anytime a change is made, I get notified. So if a user is added, they've changed groups, password is reset, anything like that, I get an alert. So Sunday night, well, it's an email. It's not really an alert. Let me rephrase that.
Still.
So Sunday night, he sets up three new people at like 8:40 p.m.
And they probably start Monday morning.
They're starting Monday morning. And then what he wants to do is if he logs in, he's home, he logs into his computer, he sets them up, and then he wants to run over, you know, and connect to their computer in Tampa or to the Tampa remote server and start making sure that the login worked. Well, of course, the change hasn't replicated in the minute that he set up a user, in the minute that he tries to, because he'll do that. He'll set them up and immediately try to log in.
But he knows that it takes 15 minutes.
Yeah, but he doesn't like that. So I think what happened is replication, you know, most of the time replication does happen pretty quick. But they've got a pretty substantial network. And I reset everything back to, because I know at one point we did set replication to happen like every 5 minutes. And I forget what happened. Something happened with Active Directory, and I think a server DNS was messed up on a server because they don't want us to do maintenance ever. So I just ended up resetting everything, all back to the defaults, all replication, so, you know, sites and services, and it was a joy. So now he's frustrated. Looks like Matt 2 is back.
Other Matt.
Is it other Matt? Matt 2? Hey, Matt, what's up?
How are you, sir? Is this better?
Good. Yep, that's better.
All right. Sorry, my house, we're getting ready to sell, and it's all pieces. I have no desk to sit out, and I had to go find these in a box.
Oh, my. So you're selling your house?
Selling my house.
Moving on up, huh?
I got some land out in the country outside of town, and I'm building a big barn dominium and ready for a little stretching room and not having to watch my neighbors eat dinner outside my window in their house.
All right. So for those who don't know the voice, this is Matt Foreman, who lives somewhere in the great state of Texas.
North Texas.
North Texas. In the Panhandle?
Denton. Oh, in Denton?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess we kind of – North Texas is what we call this area, but it's not the far north or not the Panhandles.
All right.
They may argue different.
All right. Now, is this closer or further from your new office that you just outfitted?
Probably a little closer. I'm still just 15 minutes from the office either way, I think.
All right. So, did you finish the office? I was watching the pictures you were showing us. So Matt and I, so Mr. Foreman and I are in a private peer group. And you share stuff with us in there. And we had some very nice photos. And you were setting up the office. And you had the 1,001 arcade games.
3,000. Make sure we have nothing else to do
but
play games.
And it was looking pretty nice. Is it finished?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, everything's together. We're fully working out of there. The only thing that's really not complete is like a separate little office. But I really just use it for doing stuff like this. And if I need to have a phone call or, you know, do some kind of private work, because I'm more of a, I like to be out working with my guys, so I don't really segregate myself off to do much. So I'm usually out there with them.
Oh, I can't do that. I've got a big window that I can watch them. remember like the 70s, you know, manufacturing warehouses where that the supervisor would be able to look out the window and watch the workers.
See everybody.
Yeah. That's what my office is too. I've got a big window that looks out in the tech room.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I like the bullpen type atmosphere, and it's the way we run everything.
All right. And then I have blinds on them, so I can close the blind. I don't want them to see in.
Kind of peek up. Just
yeah. I don't have blinds yet. I got to work on that. I got to fix these first. These are annoying me. I think I'm gonna get one of those screens that pulls down and have the MB Systems logo up there and.
That'd be cool.
Maybe a Podnuts Pro. I'll have two. I'll have one for Podnuts Pro.
You just need to get you some of that glass that's like content via remote control. And when it closes up, has your logo on it.
Yeah, but that's Matt Rainey kind of money.
So. I want to get a one-way glass is what I want to get on mine. So I can see out, but they can't see in.
Yeah, then you're going to have people like picking their teeth in the mirror.
Yeah, they might. But, of course, the guys know it would be me. In there.
All right. So let's move on to – actually, before we go back, Mr. Foreman, did you hear when I was talking about my customer that was frustrated with the slow Active Directory application?
Briefly.
Okay. Do you even do Active Directory? Do you do physical servers?
Absolutely.
All right. Any multi-sites where you're doing replication across the WAN?
No, pretty much everybody's one. Got a few people that have multiple servers. A lot of them, most of them just have a single one.
All right.
Anybody that needs access. I mean, with multi-site places, we just use our Meraki's to do site to site. So we don't have to worry about replicating or even Not even really have a desire to.
Not even Active Directory across with user accounts and stuff?
Nope.
So, Mr. Rainey, do you have any multi-site locations?
We've got two doing that, yeah.
All right. Ever have any issues with that? No?
Nope. Of course, I don't have admins that are complaining about it. We do the work. So we just tell them, yeah, create an account, give it 15, 20 minutes.
All right.
Which is what I tell him. I would probably tell him, just incorporate that 15 minutes into your workflow. Just know that's what it's going to be and just incorporate it.
All right. So here's a question. I'll ask this one first. Do you guys have a checklist of things to do after a ransomware attack? After you've cleaned up the ransomware, you've got their files back. Do you have a checklist of stuff that, of things that you guys do after the fact?
No.
Nothing official. I mean, but I can't even tell you the last time we had one.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Okay. So I had a customer contact me Monday morning because their backup software was detecting a virus in a file that when I went on to investigate, first thing, let me say this. Yes, this was the customer using their own backup system. This is a client that is not under management. The only thing that we have set up with them is a remote connection to their server, and we do back up their server, and we have remote access to it, but that's all we do. So they do everything else. And we are trying to get them to stop doing it. So not only are we backing up their server, apparently they're backing up a bunch of stuff themselves. So the office manager has two USB drives that she does backups to. One for QuickBooks and then one for the other files. But their backup program that she runs from her desktop is called Almer Backup. Have either of you heard of that?
Almer?
Yes.
No.
A-L-M-E-R.
This sounds bad already.
So they have Almer Backup, and their virus protection that they purchased that they don't want to give up is ESET. So ESET was detecting a virus because their backup program was accessing a file on the server, and they were in a panic. And so I went in and looked at it, and apparently the files that they were getting alerts on were files that happened from a ransomware attack that they did have back in 2017 that we went in and stopped and cleaned up. Well, we only cleaned up to a point because once we got their files restored, they were like, okay, thank you. We'll take it from here. So I wanted to ask people and talk about the things that you should always follow up with after the ransomware attack. And the first thing that I have on here is don't leave it to the customer.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Almer, A-L-M-E-R.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm sure you looked them up, right?
No.
Did you go to their website?
No, I didn't.
Okay. I'm assuming it's almersoft.com. Now, I'm not familiar with this product. I've never used it. I can't say anything positive or negative about it. But I did notice that when I went to purchase – I feel very confident because this says designed for Microsoft Windows XP 2000 ME and 98. So right there, it instills confidence in their product.
Okay.
Sounds like one of those, you know, names that you see on the top 20 backup softwares of 2020.
Yeah.
Junk websites that you come across.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I thought about, but I'm like, I don't care what it is. If they're not using our stuff, I don't care. If they're not going to pay us to do it, then anytime they call us, it's a billable call and whatever. If they want us to take it, we'll be using either our managed solution or Datto or whatever. But I am looking at the site, Matt. The copyright, 2000 to 2008.
Yeah, I saw that
so
too.
Obviously, it's been updated.
They need to update their software site. It looks like a site that's from 1995.
Oh, and they even have that logo that says designed for. That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, if you go to purchase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Windows XP 2000. As soon as it says ME. Wow. So the other thing was, when we restored their backup and we wanted to go in, normally I'll go in and I'll do a full cleanup, because one of the big problems with ransomware is all those stupid TXT files or JPEG files that will say, you know, oh, where are your files? They are encrypted. Please pay us. Well, that never got cleaned up. And so the backup was detecting those files that were still there.
The last time I had to do anything with it, it was literally picked up a client whose IT guy was, I think they said, in his 80s, and just ended up in the hospital. They had to go pick him up from the hospital, take him to the site to get some work done, and then take him back because he's the only one that knew anything. But anyway, I just thought it was funny that that's how they had to work with their IT guy. But yeah, he left them with nothing, and they got infected, and we basically, that's kind of where we came in, is with them having a ransom virus. And we were able to recover their data off some backups, but all the computers that it got on, we wiped completely. I mean, just to be safe, including that we just threw the old server out and bought a whole new one.
So their workstations, they had multiple workstations that were infected as well?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Servers, workstations. But, yeah, this was – but, you know, walk into an environment where half of them are even AVG-free, you know, is there – and then McAfee and Norton and, you know, nothing uniform, nothing that was upkept or anything like that. So it didn't surprise me. But, yeah, it spread right across the network. Mm.
I've never had that. The only thing I've had is it hit some network shares, and it's usually – I've only found it on – like one computer, one workstation was a culprit. So that when we wipe and the server shares that are infected, we would just blow away and restore the whole share.
So on any current customers, and when I say current, I haven't had to deal with ransomware probably in a couple of years with any of the other customers. But just like you guys will obviously find the offending station and wipe it, reload, and then just we're at the point now where we tell everybody, look, we are going to scan every system on the network, because we just have no idea whether somebody, you know, when they tried to access the server, maybe they grabbed a file, opened it, pulled it down. So that was another thing that this customer, we found the offending station, and they're like, okay, well, take care of that one, take care of this, restore our files on the server, and that's it. So I have no idea most of the time if they had any other issues there. So that's something, when we get them under management, that we're going to take care of that, you know.
Yeah.
We're not leaving stuff up to them. We identify the machine. We scan the rest of the systems. I don't know. Of course, if you've got centralized, you know, antivirus malware protection, you can kind of do that. In this case, they're doing it themselves. It's all sneakernet, you know, where they've installed individual licenses of ESET. And listen, I've never used ESET. I've heard good things about it. I don't know if it's even manageable in a centralized way, but.
Yes, they do have admin consoles for it. I don't know. I really like the Silence that we use. It's done a really good job for us, but I've never used every ESET through our business. So can't vouch for it either way, but it's used quite a bit.
All right.
I've never used it.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to one other topic. So this is a topic that I can't share all the details with. This is something that I am currently in the midst of going with or having issues with. So I have a customer that is now or was three companies in one. So when I started with them, they were actually a sub-account of a client that I was helping, and they weren't my client, and then they begged me to take over their IT from this other company. we worked out a deal. So when I took them on, they were two companies in one. They then added a third company. So they have three divisions, but they operate for me as one company.
This sounds so familiar to me.
So it's one server. Why? Because it's happened to you?
No, because I think I've heard it.
Well, I don't know if you heard this.
Talked about last week, right?
That no,
I think we talked about this maybe after the show.
We may have talked after the show.
Yeah.
So three in one. So they added a third company 3 years ago. But everything was still one. So I send them one invoice, but I get three checks in the mail. So lately we've been only getting two checks or one check. So I think I started a fight at the end of the year. Oh yeah, we did talk about this because I sent them, this is the one that I sent the email to saying, you know, one third of your business has not paid for 3 months. I need to get these invoices corrected. We want to have our books up to date, you know, really soon. And we're going to keep you up to date as with the rest of our customers, making them think that they're the only ones that do this to us. So literally like 2 days after that, they decided to split. Let me rephrase that. The two owners wanted to kick the hell out of the third owner. And so he's dissolving that part of the company. And he immediately started demanding that I give him admin passwords to his email accounts, admin passwords to his notebooks, access to his phone numbers. And this third owner, I've never really dealt with him at all. I deal with one owner. That one owner signs the bulk of the checks, and he's the only one that I've ever taken direction from. So I told him, I said, I can't do anything unless this person tells me. And he flipped. So what are your guys' first impressions of a scenario like that?
Who's on the agreement? I mean, do you have three agreements? One agreement?
I have one agreement.
No agreements? You have one agreement? Okay.
Yes.
And whose name's on it? The guy you said you work with, or the guy that wanted all the info?
The guy that I work with.
Then I would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah, so I would have treated him like a new business. I said, look, if you want to sign up for my services, we can get you set up. And whatever assets are yours, I mean, you can get with your guy. I mean, obviously, if he's taking some assets with him, they'll belong to him. At which point you can say, yes, if you've got your assets, if you want to pay and be a new customer, we'll set you up with an agreement. Then I can do that work for you. But just some guy who used to work with the company you work for, you have no agreement with him.
Yeah. So everybody mentions a very good point, and even Kerry Holzman in the chat said three companies, three agreements. So one of the things that I first dealt with is I called my attorney.
Bradley Gross.
Because the one good thing is I did have an agreement in place, but it was not up to date with the needs of the company. And even from the beginning, I probably should have had two agreements, one for each company within the company. Part of the problem is this company has always operated like that. They operate as one company. Even though they're three separate companies, they do everything's under one account, their domain, their phone, their email.
So whatever. It's like internal call centers for their company. They just bill. So yeah.
And then
that's
each owner.
Internal thing, not an external.
Right. So. And then each, you know, and it wasn't until recently that they decided that they would each start paying a third of the bills. But obviously, I'm going to have probably a podcast about this later with Bradley Gross, because that was a, you know, big part of our discussion is, my goodness, we've got to now prepare for these things ahead of time and basically go into a scenario where if you know that there are multiple partners, then you need to prepare for a possible breakup, which is interesting because I've had that happen all the time. Law firms are my biggest subset of clients. And partners in law firms leave all the time.
Yep.
And they have to change names and do all this stuff. It's just odd. It's funny because I've never had to deal with that with a law firm, but this company that's not a law firm I had to deal with because the one guy was just being an absolute jerk and even was threatening that if we didn't give him access to his emails and stuff within an hour, that he had authorized his attorney, you know, to sue everybody. And that's what I'm like, all right.
But it's not like they're separate. It's all in one admin portal. So you can't give him access to his only
right.
without giving him access to everything else.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting thing to think about. I haven't thought about it, and nor have I had something like that happen, but it does make me think. I mean, I've got some law firms too, but none of them, I mean, lawyers come and go, but I guess the main partners really hadn't split. But I mean, it makes me think about going through my client list now in my head, who might have two potential people that could do that, and does my agreement cover that somehow?
Then you got to worry about new partners coming in and getting them on. You know, they've got to agree to the agreement that you have. And then now, so new partners coming, old partners leaving. That's a nightmare for you and Mr. Gross to handle.
Yep. We'll be chatting about that soon. But of course, so this started on Thursday and Friday. It must have started Wednesday. I must have told you because Thursday and Friday we were going back and forth by email. And basically I got to the point where I said, look, there's only one person that I deal with. So if you guys all agree and show me a piece of paper that this is what we want to do, I'll do it. And so over the weekend, they were supposed to all come up with a written agreement that they would sign on Monday and send to me and I would do whatever. Well, guess what happened? COVID. One of their employees were exposed. And so they are now all quarantined. They can't even go into the office.
Oh, they can Zoom. Come on. They can still work on this.
Yeah.
So basically what I ended up doing, so Monday and Tuesday, I spent coming up with all the steps needed to do the separation. And it's amazing how many things you have to think of. Because even if you think, Matt, you mentioned Office 365, you know, everything's under one tenant. And we actually do have different email addresses, one for each part of the business, but they're all under one tenant. AppRiver set up alias domains for them. So we've got company A is the primary. And then if somebody comes in and works for company B or company C, we create the account with company A, but then we change their username to company B or company C.
Yeah, so to split that, you've got to do a migration to a different tenant.
Yes.
That's not something you can do in an hour.
Nope. But I had to explain all that. You know, first I had to confirm with AppRiver how that, you know, who can request that to be done. Because, you know, the owner was like, well, just give me the password. I'll contact them. I'm like, no, you're not contacting them. We're not giving you access to the rest of the tenant. Then he decides, all right, well, I'll just create a Microsoft account and then I'll move everything over. And I'm like, can't do that either. And he's like, well, why not? I said, when you go to set up your 365 account, it's going to ask you what email address do you want to use. And if you try to use your existing email, you're not going to be able to do it. And he didn't believe me, of course.
Who manages his domain name? Do you manage it?
So... yes and no. So,
because he could, if he manages his own domain name,
no,
he could go in there and change his DNS records and point to another.
So I co-manage it. I co-manage it with the office manager. So it's all registered to them under GoDaddy. So their domain is under GoDaddy. So they take care of that. He doesn't have access to that, but I have access to the control panel, so I can go in and do all that. And then we have AppRiver for the email. So
in your agreement with them, does your agreement specify an inventory list of any kind?
We never did that.
So
part of what I did was we are now coming up with a true division of all assets, everything from, you know, accounts, you know, for network accounts, because we have some people that work in the office and have access to computers. The rest work outside the office. They have notebooks that were purchased under different parts of the company, but they've all changed hands, so that the company that's leaving, they actually have two laptops that were purchased by the other part of the business. So I'm telling them, you guys have to designate now which assets belong to which companies. Because, of course, you know, he's like, well, just give me the admin passwords and I'll take care of it. I'm like, no, you're not getting the admin password. You tell me which computers you want changed. I'll remote in and I'll remove the passwords. And then you can put new ones on when do whatever you want. So,
yeah, that's I don't envy you in that situation.
Yeah.
The funniest part is I want this done in an hour. You realistically tell them, okay, so you can split companies into multiple companies and separate all assets and all management features, and you think this takes an hour? I think that's – you can't split companies up that quickly.
No. And I have no idea what they're dealing with on their end, you know, just between – you know, they just purchased a building in 2019. They moved into at the beginning of 2020, right before COVID. So they have a brand new building that they've purchased. So that's, you know, this guy.
Well, that's easy. They're just going to draw a big line and say, you don't cross my line. This is mine.
So this guy wanted keys to this and keys to that. And I'm like, dude, I can't help you with that. You know,
yeah.
So they're fighting that. But the funny part was I finally told him, I said, look, I don't know how long it's going to take you to get your mail moved over. If you need access to files on the server, that's no big deal. I'll just go in, download files to a flash drive and hand it to you. That's not a big deal. But the biggest problem is, well, let me rephrase that. The third part of the equation is the phones, because, of course, the phone numbers that he wants out are all part of the single account. At guess what place they're at?
Oh, Lord. Freedom Voice?
Yes.
So you've got to port those numbers to a new account, and yes, just like any other migration or just any other port.
And I explained to him, you've got to create new service somewhere and request a port of the numbers, and that's going to take probably 10 days.
An hour?
What? An hour. 45 minutes.
It's just a couple of minutes. Just a couple of minutes.
Hold on. Okay, done.
So I did find out, on our side, it's really easy. The primary contact on the managing account, on the account, all they have to do is send an email to Freedom Voice saying, please release these numbers. And Freedom Voice responded pretty quickly saying, okay, boom. But the problem is it's basically called number unlocking. So the numbers get unlocked and they stay unlocked for 30 days. So you have 30 days to port the numbers, which sounds like it should be plenty of time, right?
It's way longer than an hour.
Yep. Turns out this guy doesn't have an IT person.
I thought he has you.
Well, no. I skipped over a lot of stuff.
He doesn't want to use you. He just wants you to give him access to everything.
Yeah, he just wanted me to give him admin stuff. And I said, well, no, I'll work with your IT person. And in the beginning, he said he had an IT person.
Yeah, he just said that.
Yeah, he just said that.
Because he said, you give it to me. You give me the admin passwords, yeah, and I'll give it to my IT person.
Yeah. So come now to find out he doesn't have an IT person. He doesn't know where he's going to do the phones. He thought he could just go to Microsoft.com and sign up for 365 and move all of his mailboxes. And I'm like, no.
Look, so I'm going to give you some good advice. Here's what you do. You go on Craigslist and you search for IT guy. And the cheapest one you find, you give him a call and he'll help you out.
Yep. So it's funny. But yeah, so it all goes back to certain things. You just, it's mind numbing now to know all the things you have to prepare for, just, you know, from the agreement that we talked about. If there's, you know, multiple owners involved, you've got a plan for what happens if they break up.
Yep.
You'd almost have to, I mean, I guess legally go by, well, I was going to say who signed the contract, but I've got some businesses where, you know, you've got the business owner doesn't want to do anything, so he has his
office administrator. Yeah.
Yeah. The office administrator signed the contract, you know, as a representative, but so that really wouldn't work either.
Well, it does, because you actually have to do, you know, who is, so you have the owners, and then you have the, what they call the authorized contact, mm-hmm. or authorized person to sign on
agents, behalf. Yeah, authorized agent.
But the problem is all those names have to be on there. So I had this happen with a law firm a while back where one partner, actually it's the same company that has the West Coast and the East Coast offices, because the managing partner is based out of the West Palm office, but the other partner is based on the West Coast. And that person, of course, because his name is on the door, everybody in that firm, if he asks for something, they will drop whatever they're doing to take care of it. And he wants us to be the same way. And I'm like, I can't do that. He's like, well, my name. I said, I know that, but you don't sign the checks and you don't sit in on the meetings that we have every so often to talk about all these IT things. And that other partner tells me that if you ask for something, that I'm to tell you to go talk to him.
Now that sounds like it may start something. You may have two more businesses to deal with soon.
So yeah. their domain name, is their domain name based on the partner's names? A lot of lawyers have their names as their domain name.
So we're talking about the law firm, the two.
Is that the law firm, the one that's splitting?
No, the one that's splitting. Actually, it's weird. It is a plumbing, mechanical, roofing company.
Okay, so their name is not part of the domain name. If you had three lawyers' name and it was Bob, Joe, and Jimbo.
No.
Okay.
And most of my firms are actually pretty good about that, where the names are not part of the domain. They, you know, whatever the company name is, it's kind of different. Although law firms, they may have, you know, Bob Jones Smith, but the website might be, you know, bjs.com.
It's unfortunate.
I know. Didn't quite think that through as I was saying it.
Sorry. But still, if one of those leaves, those initials don't make any sense. Well, they didn't make any sense before, but they make less sense if there's no
if there's no S.
Throw a hyphen in there.
But I've seen that before, accounting firms and law firms, where they're, even if it's just their one initial per person, one person leaves.
Yeah, it changes the domain name.
I'll give you an example. My father was a partner at a CPA firm a long time ago, 20 years ago. And the R was in the domain name. It was one letter for each last name of the partner. And they still have the domain name 15, 20 years later. No one even knows what the R stands for in their domain name and their email address. I'm like, that's funny. I mean, but they've never bothered changing their domain name. And I think at this time, out of the five letters, I think there's only two that were still there. So only two of the letters make any sense.
I've never been a big fan of having the person's name in the business name, period, for reasons just like that. And for if you ever want to sell.
Yeah, right. Even if you sell, not even if you, yeah.
Well, that will be on an upcoming podcast, because I will talk about when you start your business, think very long and hard about what you name it.
Mm-hmm. So what was that one you said? Was it Bob, Jones, and Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I compare that with the businesses that name themselves by where they're located, like Main Street Mechanic. Like, what happens when you outgrow that space or you lose that space and now you're on Avenue A?
Yeah, I see that a lot.
Main Street Mechanic on Avenue A. Like, that, I don't understand people who name it by the location. I don't care for that either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was smart. I mean, I named it MB Systems, but the legal name is MB Systems of South Florida. So
you're stuck there.
Every time I moved within, you know, Fort Lauderdale, I was still inside of South Florida.
Yeah,
so.
But you're stuck in South Florida.
Yeah, you can't expand now. Can't take your van anywhere else.
I can't. Well, I can change it to MB Systems of Florida.
But then you got to change it.
No, domain is still MB Systems. That doesn't have, nothing else has to change.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Well, when are you going to change your company name, Matt? Aren't you a partner? Your name should be on the door.
And see, that's the thing. That's never going to happen. I mean, it's fine with me that my name's not on it because, you know, when people are mad and want to complain, they want to talk to the people with the name of the building. So I'm fine because most of our clients know I'm a partner. But, you know, smaller ones that we don't talk to very often, they don't. I mean, if I send them an email, they know it because it says partner. But, I mean, like most of them know, but that doesn't bother me. The people who don't know, I don't need them to know because when they want to complain, complain to one of them.
Yeah. I do want to address something. So Mr. Keith Rosa threw in the chat when we were talking earlier, single point of contact. And I do want to say, and Carrie actually wrote something too earlier about a liaison. I'll go back and look for that. So the problem with it is when you deal with splits like this, the liaison is usually representative for all of the involved parties. When a split happens, as what happened with this law firm, the liaison is kind of stuck in the middle.
Yeah.
Because
the people splitting have no liaison for their interest.
Right. So it was kind of so the single point of contact in this particular case doesn't work because they're talking about stuff that goes up because the single point of contact for this was the office manager who has really no legal status at all. She can't sign anything. Now she's the main point of contact and she's the billing contact, but she can't sign anything. So I had to deal with all of the people, like all three of them signed, but they all signed for different things. So, and when it was funny, when we were looking up, so Bradley Gross, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to because I was on the phone. And so when we were talking about, you know, this leaving party who was angry and was going to do all this stuff. So when we looked them up in the Florida Department of Corporations, when you bring up their name on the first page, his name isn't even on there.
So he's now listed on as being a.
Yeah. Now, if you dig down deeper, he was on the original document. But when you just look at the front page of the Florida Division of Corporations, his name's not there.
I mean, his thread, I hate dealing with lawyers, but his thread is almost like just because you do work for that company, he's splitting from that company. So that's like him calling some random IT guy saying, you get me up and running, and if you don't within an hour, I'm going to sue you.
Yeah. Well, here's the funny thing about it. I've worked with so many lawyers, that means nothing to me.
Right. I know. They think it scares a lot of people, but I mean, this one of the things that bugs me about lawyers.
Yeah. But here's a statement that he made. He had sent a big, long email saying that Marvin probably doesn't realize that I'm 50% owner in this company. And so apparently with the third company, he's 50%. And then the other two partners are 25 and 25 of that third company. And so I had an email drafted where I was like, well, then you should have been paying 50% of your bill.
Yes. I'll adjust the billing in accordance with the percentages you list.
Yeah. So the bottom line is I told him, I said, look, this is your problem. My thing is the person that is authorized to tell me what to do, whatever he tells me, that's what I will do.
Yeah.
And if you really want to try to drag me into it, I've got plenty of attorneys on my side. I'm happy to go to court.
What are you gonna say? Happy to. Wow. Very enthusiastic.
That's kind of strange.
That's how I tell them. What were you going to say, Foreman?
I was just saying, I was thinking back over my contracts in my head, and I mean, everything is done to the business name with just the authorized person. So, I mean, in my head, I'm thinking if something split, right? I mean, if somebody was leaving and they both claimed it, I mean, I would probably have to, as much as possible, if there was a scenario like that, figure out who is now in control of the actual business and proceed that way.
Right, which is what I did, because technically the leaving party, he left. I mean, the computers for that side of the business are still on-prem. He's not taking those. He's not, I don't even think he's taking data. I mean, he wants the email. Basically what he wants is his email so that he can take his contacts, you know, with him and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And he wants his phone numbers. But he's acting like he's, you know, got a, you know, a convoy of U-Hauls, you know, ready to load up stuff. And I'm like, it doesn't matter because we didn't change the original agreement. The original agreement is this person is the signing person for anything, you know, IT related. So, you know, and I don't, you know, so now the thing is I'm sure, you know, this is something that I'm going to ask, you know, a few other, you know, bigger MSPs is when they do these types of contracts, do they, you know, change contracts when, you know, new ownership comes along? And I think, Rainey, you mentioned it earlier where you've got to, you know, adjust, you know, contracts whenever a name changes or anything like that.
Yeah.
So.
That's right.
But we'll figure it out. And like I said, I'll have a future podcast. So either Bradley Gross will do one on his own or I'll get him to do one with me and we'll talk about all of that stuff. So all sorts of fun.
When you talk to him, tell him he's slacking on his podcast.
Yeah. Okay. I'll call him up as soon as we're done here. I'll let him know.
And say we're all waiting for another podcast and you know, we haven't had one in a while.
All right.
I like his podcast. Everybody likes his podcast. Come on. We learn a lot.
Because they're short and to the point and pretty on point. All right. So let's finish out here. Unless you guys have something else you want to bring up.
No, I'll save that for later.
Okay. So I did want to say before we left, I want to say thank you to everybody out there that sent me all the links to Florida Man from last week. While we do not talk politics as much as possible here, we cannot ignore the fact that Florida Man was heavily involved in the issues that took place in Washington, D.C. And, I mean, no matter which side of the fence you're on, you had to be proud of how Florida Man represented themselves. And I don't know how many Florida men are getting arrested and chased down by law enforcement, but it is just something to behold. I don't want to try to go through all the links that were sent to me because there were a lot. But I do want to show everybody a video of the real Florida Man that I am proud of at this time. So I'm going to play the video. If you're listening by audio, you should be able to understand it just fine. But here is the Florida Man that I am most proud of.
All new at 5:30, shock inside one South Florida community after a guy is spotted riding his military-style tank in a residential neighborhood. Neighbors inside the village of Palmetto Bay sent us that video.
Many say they're confused by the sight and wonder if it's even allowed to be driven down their street. CBS 4's Joan Murray has the details.
So the tanks are on this gated property off Old Cutler Road. Apparently in Florida, you are allowed to have military tanks, but for some, it's a little too close for comfort. When, if ever, have you seen this in South Florida? Someone driving a military tank on the streets of Palmetto Bay. The images hit social media over the weekend. Area residents can't quite wrap their heads around the spectacle.
Well, for the most part, it's unusual to say the very least, but at the present state of political events, it's concerning.
Tanks have been around more than 100 years, but usually you see them on the battlefield. A quick check on the internet shows you can find sites selling the monster machinery, sometimes for hundreds of thousands of dollars. These tanks, we are told, are British grade.
We're with CBS 4, wanted to speak to somebody about the tanks.
We tried to speak to the owner of the property. This is what we heard.
Yeah, there's nobody here to talk to you about the tanks.
A security vehicle pulled up to the gate to retrieve a UPS-delivered package, and we saw two Miami-Dade police vehicles go in. We're told as long as the guns to the tanks are not functional, and they weren't apparently, tanks are allowed here. A Palmetto code enforcement officer spent an hour on the property. He also documented this damage to the curb, which the driver allegedly caused.
I'm sure that that can't go over a curb without destroying it.
We showed the tank video to John Gonzalez, who's lived here nearly 30 years.
It was his purpose to what, intimidate or just show off? Probably just to show off, but I would have to disagree with that. If I get a vote, I'll vote against it.
So at this point, the village of Palmetto Bay is looking into whether the owner of the tanks is in compliance with all the codes. And also, that damage you see to the concrete curb, that issue has been passed along to the county, and they'll have to make a determination whether he has to pay to fix it. In Palmetto Bay, Joan Murray, CBS 4 News.
So, if you want to drive a tank, come to Florida.
Is there another style of tank besides military style tank?
Your recreational tank.
Recreational
tank. Yeah.
And tanks.
And British. I mean, you know.
British grade.
To me, what I got from the story was the curb is damaged. I mean, really.
Like somebody complained about the curb. That's what
we're
going
to get
to the
bottom of that and get that curb repaired.
Yeah, that's it. No problem with the tank, you know.
I don't think the guy who has what looks like a security guarded compound really can cover the cost of the curb.
Yeah, that's he'll probably go get it done, get it fixed.
Yeah, so that is your Florida story for this week. And
I have a question. Does anybody watch? I've watched some of it, the Florida Man Murders.
Oh, I wasn't going to bring it up. I was trying. Because I was going to
half of it.
I was going to do it last week, and I was going to tell everybody, if you want to get a good feel for Florida Man, watch Florida Man Murders.
It's and on Oxygen.
Oxygen TV. So I don't know if everybody has it. And currently there are 4 episodes out. So how many did you get to watch, you said, Matt?
Rainey?
2 of the 4?
Yep.
So that was, the one was with the Keys, right?
With the Keys.
Okay.
And the other one was with the 55-gallon drums?
Yes. Yep. So since you brought it up, I will go ahead and say this. I think that what I want to do is give everybody the opportunity to find Oxygen, because, again, I don't know that everybody has Oxygen. It is part of our Xfinity package down here. It is also, did you find it on Hulu?
Hulu, yes. Hulu has
okay.
It.
So if you have Xfinity or Hulu, you can find Oxygen and find the Florida Man Murders. And I was trying to decide if I wanted to have a whole show dedicated to Florida Man Murders.
Is it going to be more than just the 4?
As far as I can tell, I think what they're doing is, you know how they'll do a few episodes of a series to see if it goes well? And if there's a big response, then they'll keep the series going. I think that's what they're doing. Although, I don't know why you would put those on Oxygen. I mean, that should be on NBC, CBS.
You may know. Only be the only one that offered them money for it, too.
Yeah. Well, a lot of takers in there.
Well, if you think about it, I mean, there's a Florida Man story every day for free. So,
like, our commercial advertisers don't care what we play. We just need something.
Yeah.
This is produced and, you know.
Oh, yeah, and there's interviews.
Nicely done, yeah.
Oh, yeah, go back and hear the state of mind of people during the actual event.
It was pretty crazy. The 2 I watched were pretty, especially the one with the Keys.
The Keys was awesome.
That's just sad that happened.
Yeah. So we'll talk.
They're all sad, but, I mean, that was crazy.
Yeah. But we'll talk more about Florida Man Murders. I had a whole set of takes I wanted to give on that. And
I'll have to go check it out.
Yep. Yeah, now people can go watch it, and then they can
yep.
They can know what you're talking about.
All right. All right, gentlemen, thank you all for coming out and hanging out. I want to thank those of you that were in our chat room tonight. And it was great to see the infamous Kerry Holzman here for probably the whole night. Interesting.
Yeah, I guess we had a few. Kerry, Keith. Yep.
Yes, the Rosas.
Jeremy was in there.
Yep.
Cool. I've never done one of these with people live on it before. I didn't know until like 5 minutes before I got on that I was even going to be able to be on.
Well, we're going to be doing this more often. I did make a couple of comments at the beginning of this year that I want to do more of these types of shows again. This is, you know, how the show was in the beginning. And, you know, we kind of brought in vendors and structured interviews and things of that nature. But I want to get back to more of the tech-to-tech interviews and talks and discussions and just hang out and chat. So we will be doing a lot more of these. For those of you that want to be part of the group that I call the Peanuts, basically the gallery. So StreamYard is the platform that I'm using to host these, and I can have up to 10 people on video at a time. Don't think I'll ever have that many, but I have a group of people that I'm assembling that when I have these open sessions, I will send out an invitation to say, hey, who wants to be on? And that way I'm not chasing down guests and vendors and stuff like that. So if you are available and want to be a part of this group, and you don't have to be a part every week, you just pick which night you're available. I will try to have a list of topics ahead of time so that you can say, yes, I have something to offer on that, or I have a question or whatever. I am going to try to get this show 8 p.m. Eastern time every Wednesday night. And hopefully that'll be tech time. And any other shows that we do that are vendor related, demos or stuff like that, those will be the shows that will be during the day, either on a Wednesday afternoon or a Friday afternoon. But the Wednesday nights, I want to get back to just tech time, and we'll see how many of these we can do. So
that's good. Wednesday's the best day because there's no chance of interfering with football.
Right. No football, no Fridays.
There's football this year?
Oh. Well, not for you. You're in Texas. That's
true. I had turned on those boys all year long, and I hadn't missed them either.
That's why you didn't know those football.
That's right. Right. Yeah. It's you no longer own America's team.
Okay, so who is America's team? Is it Green Bay?
It's the Browns, according to Jim Rome.
They're not America's team. If you had to say America's team, who would it be? I'm not going to say the Saints, but of course, come on, it's the Saints. But
no, and
I think the media darlings and the fan favorites have to be Green Bay.
No, I think it's still Kansas City.
When was it Kansas City?
Last year.
Still?
Last year with Mahomes.
I like the Chiefs. Well, I like Mahomes. Yeah.
Got a good QB for sure.
Yeah.
So,
all right, guys,
sorry about the Texas football situation, but you know,
the Aggies did good this year. That's all right.
Yeah. But good is not good enough.
Nope.
All right. So that is going to do it. And I want to bring everybody's attention once again to podnutspro.com. So from this time forward, anytime you have any question about the show, you missed an episode, you want to go back, you want to find out what we talked about, you want to do a search, go to podnutspro.com. You'll be able to see all the episodes there, both the video and the audio. Anytime we talk about a product, I will have that on the homepage there, so you can just click and go from there. You don't have to go searching for links within episode notes or anything like that. If you'd like to donate in other ways to the show, hit the donate page, click on the Amazon affiliate link, and go straight to Amazon, the Uncle Marv and Podnuts Pro store, and purchases that you do will be the same price to you, but something will come back to the show. And as always, I want to thank my good friends, Matt and Matt. This is almost like the old Eminem and M show.
Yeah, almost.
Hey, I really think you need to get Almersoft on here so you can do it again.
Oh, my God. That is a fantastic idea. You need to reach out to Almersoft.
Was there a number? Let me go back. Was there a number on that page?
What a great idea.
I think I just
would love to
closed it.
Founded in 2000.
For I don't all your Windows XP Windows XP backup needs too.
Oh, wait a minute. They've got multiple programs on here.
Backup.
Oh, they still have Compact Outlook Express backup.
Yeah. Well, that's a, you know.
And Total Wipe. If you need to wipe a hard drive, Total Wipe.
That's much better than precursor of Partial Wipe.
And then Almer Backup Pro 3.9. Well, there you go. Pro's in the name. So we got to get.
I really want to know what you get with the Pro that you don't just get with Almer Backup.
Well, I'll get them on here to ask.
Yeah, that would be good. It says if you.
It's a $30 difference.
They always get back to you within 24 hours. But when you contact them, it says you need to let them know the OS that you use, for example, Windows 98 SR2.
How many people used SR2?
Detailed description of the problem, including error messages, screenshots, how it happens, etc. How it happens.
But the catch is you've got to do this interview like you are really interested in what they got. Well, we're going to sit here and just probably laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me more about this Compact Outlook Express backup.
I'll just contact and say, hey, you know, one of my clients have your backup product. I think I want to take a look at it. And can you come on and talk about it? So I'll do that.
Oh, my God. Oh.
What?
Oh, I've got some bad news. If you click on the link that says buy Compact Outlook Express backup, it takes you to this page is not available.
It's okay though, because down below there you can order by fax.
Oh wait, it says Matt, all it says is please contact the seller for more details and an alternative checkout link. See, they're still for sale.
But if I'm clicking on the buy now button though, I just get a page that says this page is no longer available.
Maybe they sold out.
Well, it takes I'm the sorry,
blue
but
snap.
Which one?
The blue snap.
Which link did you click on? The single user? Because I clicked on the 20 to 50 user.
20 to 50 Compact Express is still available.
I went to products.
Yeah, the Compact Outlook Express.
Then I just went to buy now. Compact Express.
Oh, you just can't order the 20. You can't order it through Plymouth. You got to order through Share It.
Share It.
Total Wipe.
Let's see what happens if we click on Contact Us.
Okay, I get to a cart when I click on Total Wipe.
Oh, the Pro version lets you run it as a service in Windows NT.
Oh, sweet.
That's the kicker.
So
okay, for almost everything, if I go to the products page and I click on Buy Now, the only one that works is Total Wipe.
Wait a minute, which browser are you in? Let's start with that. Are you in that?
I'm in Edge.
Okay, got to go back to Internet Explorer. Come on.
Oh, okay. I'll try that. Are you really?
I'm in Firefox.
I'm going to go ahead and use the Almersoft recommended browser. No, I still get it. I can't. When I click it, it takes me to this page is not available.
Hey, you can still download the Pro version 3.9.
We can download now?
See, if you're on the purchase link. If you go to the products page and click on Buy Now, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're smart enough to be in IT, you would be smart enough to go to the purchase page and click on the share IT link.
So their link doesn't work on the Plymouth.
That's just a web guru that hasn't figured that out. But the real IT people can, you know, go to the purchase page.
But it says products and there's a purchase from there.
Listen, they're all in my cart right now. So I've got Almer Backup Pro, Almer Backup, Compact Outlook Express Backup. So I can pay by, what is that?
I mean, it's so old, you can probably get on LimeWire and just fire a key.
I mean, it's got a big button here that says TLS Secure. So right next to the Norton.
If anybody buys this and they hear and they have to fill out, where did you first hear about our software? Make sure you put Pond Nuts Pro.
Oh, I got to see if they have an affiliate link. Let me. I can get a cut of some business here. All right, folks. If anybody goes out there and purchases, let me know first. Tell them you heard it here on Pod Nuts Pro.
And if anybody's using it, let you know, because maybe we're wrong. Maybe it works great. Maybe it's a fantastic product. We have no experience with it, so we don't. I'm just going by their outdated website, which doesn't.
Listen, they're too busy backing up important data to be worried about
their
website.
Money's worth out of this site design.
I mean,
I guess they're dumping their money in their product, not in the marketing for the website.
Yeah. Hey, that's right. I agree with that premise. No marketing, Marv.
Can you use that? I don't know you could use that still.
Sure, I can. It's my my name, right?
All right.
I'm going to have, you know what? I was supposed to ask. I don't know if I can do this on air. I'll talk to you guys off air about my idea that my wife corrected me on. I should ask some people's opinion before I do it.
Sounds good.
So with that, folks, I want to say thank you all for watching, listening, downloading, and subscribing to the show. Again, head over to podnutspro.com. Subscribe with your favorite podcatcher. Like us on YouTube or the Facebook. I'm working on Instagram. I'm going to do something on, what's that platform that they're talking about now? Clubhouse. We're going to check that out. And if we can do an M&M again, we may do a TikTok. Let's see how that goes.
Oh, boy.
That's going to do it, folks. Thank you all very much. We'll see you real soon. And until next time, holla.